Wisdom.
Wisdom is something that we all need, don't we? We'd like to turn our Bibles to Kings, 1 Kings. You know, we normally think about Solomon right away when we think about wisdom, because God gave him the greatest wisdom to a man. But at the end, he left God. It's just so, I don't know, when you read about it, you just can hardly understand why he would do that. But that puts a fear of God on all of us, that we need to keep the fear of God and ask God to help us to have wisdom and understanding, to fear God. 1 Kings 3 and 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in thy midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. It wasn't long after that God gave him this great gift of wisdom and understanding as the king, that two women came to him and they had this child. They both had, well, they only had one child. The other child they had, but it died. And so they were both claiming that this child was theirs. And it says in here, "And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, 'The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' They brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other.' Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, 'O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it.' But the other said, 'Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child.' and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So this was a great thing. The Lord gave judgment, gave wisdom, understanding to this king. It wasn't that Solomon had it on his own, but the Lord gave it to him. And it seemed like the Lord inspired me that we need in life so much wisdom and understanding in dealing with others and working with others and just in every way, in our own life, in our own self, our own personalities. And sometimes we just really need to pray to God to open our minds and our understanding and to give us wisdom and not be so fast to do things. When things come up in our lives that we don't understand, ask the Lord and take some time to pray and ask the Lord to give you some wisdom and understanding, because many times we're hasty and do things hasty, it doesn't turn out very well. But the Lord can help us to understand. Now, you know, later, I'm just going to tell some of the story that I read. But, you know, later, what Solomon did, he had many wives, we know that, and all that. But they were wives that he was not supposed to have, and they worshipped idols, this is what took Solomon away. And he did not listen to God. He went far away from God. And if you read the Proverbs, there's so much we're going to read a little bit that Solomon wrote. So much good in that when he was right with God. So much good that we can get from that. But it's so sad at the end that he allowed this to happen to him. And he built these temples for idols. And not only that, he went and even bowed down to these idols with these women. I mean, he was so far away from God till God finally was angry at the end and he died. But his son Rehoboam was going to be the next king. But they didn't want him because he decided, I'm going to be harsh with the people and I'm going to put more work upon them. They advised him, don't be that way. But no, he wouldn't listen. That's what I want to do. I want to be harsh words and I'm going to be that way and I'm going to have harsh words and I'm going to put hard work on the people. And they said, no, don't be that way. But he wouldn't listen. And so finally they didn't want him. So then they chose Jeroboam. Well, Jeroboam, he didn't do very well either. He decided he got some gold and he caused these golden calves to, you know, be made and all that. And they worshiped that and it was just awful. And so the end of his life wasn't good either. But, you know, there was a prophet that was sent to Jeroboam and told him, you know, about God was displeased with him and he was putting judgment upon him. And he reached out to grab that prophet and his hand I just wrote it down exactly what happened. But it said he reached out his hand to grab the prophet and his hand became stiff and flesh dried up onto his bone. And when that happened, he repented and asked the prophet to pray for him, and God restored his hand. And then it went on, telling this story because this is so important, because the prophet that went to him and saw all this happen, and the Lord told him not to eat and drink in that place. He gave him a commandment, and the prophet himself didn't listen to God's commandment. And at first, you know, when Jeroboam was healed with his hand, he wanted him to eat and drink with him. He said, you know, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that because God gave him a commandment not to eat or drink. And so he refused at first, and then he went on his way, and God had told him to go a different way, and not that way. He went a different way. And here come an old prophet and heard about him. He was excited because he had heard the story through his children, I believe it was, that how he dealt with this wicked king. So he wanted to see him. So he went and told him that the angel of the Lord told him to come and eat and drink with him. Now this is the second temptation. And God definitely told him not to do that. And he believed him. He believed the lie. And he went ahead and went and ate and drank with him. Well, the end of that prophet's life wasn't good either. Because then there was this lion that came along. And God let this lion slay this prophet. And you know, it just seemed that he didn't let the lion eat his flesh, but he let the lion slay him. And when the prophet heard about him that had invited him to his house, he went down there and took him and buried his body. But I read all that and I was just thinking, oh my, just because they didn't obey God's commandments, they didn't use wisdom, and I was thinking how important it is for us to use the wisdom that God has given us. And the greatest wisdom is to be saved. It's to be saved and live for God and keep faithful to Him and keep going on and keep pressing on. And no matter what happens, that's the greatest wisdom on earth that we could have. And, you know, they might say that, well, there's some real intelligent people in this world, and there's a lot of really smart people. There's been people that's went to college many years, gave a lot of their years of their life and all that. But I'm telling you what, the most smartest people and the most intelligent people I'm looking at here tonight, and it's true, they are saved and have decided to live for God. Because you know what? This life, it's like we heard about this dear woman that suddenly passed away and heard that she was 70 years old. But even then, that's not that long. Suddenly got sick, you know. It's so sad, but this is what it is, dear ones. We're facing this, and we don't want to be down about that or depressed about that at all. But we want to be prepared for that. And we want, that's the greatest wisdom, is to be saved and stay with God. He's worthy, like the song we sang this morning, He's worthy to be praised. God is worthy of it. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of everything. And so I was reading this, just thinking about how God does put judgment upon disobedience. And there's just no way around it. It's just we reap what we sow. And so as long as we're desiring to please the Lord, we're desiring His wisdom, and we desire His understanding, and even then at the very best, we sometimes may not have quite the wisdom that God wants us to have because we didn't quite listen to the Lord, but we want to have that desire to listen to the Lord. And if we make a mistake, if we're willing and humble to admit that, He'll help us out. He'll turn it around for us. But we need to realize that the Lord wants us to seek Him. Seek Him. Don't seek our own understanding how to fix things. Don't seek our own wisdom, but seek the Lord's. The Lord is able to give that to us. We want to read some of the, over here in some of the Psalms. We won't read all of it, but a little bit here in Psalms 119 and 30. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Oh, dear ones, isn't that the way it is tonight? We have chosen the way of truth. You know, we didn't choose to go out into a different church or different sectism, and not that we're the only ones saved, but we have really desired the truth of God's word. We have chosen truth. We have desired it. We have been hungry for it. We've been wanting it. And God sees that in our heart. And it says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Lord, whatever judgments you wanted to send in the ministering of your word or however you want to talk to me, I have laid it out before myself. I have cried to the Lord. We've cried to the Lord. Say, Lord, give me your judgments. You know, and we'd want the Lord's judgments. And the Lord said, and I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know, we want the Lord to enlarge our spiritual heart tonight. We want the Lord to help us. Lord, help us to enlarge our heart to run the way of God's commandments. And God can do that. He can put such a love in your heart that it will be easy to obey God's commandments. And it will be something you love and desire. And you know, that 38th verse of that chapter, it's all good. Sometimes you want to just meditate on that. Psalms 119, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. You know, are we devoted to God's fear? That's wisdom, is to have the fear of God. The Lord wants us to have the fear of God. We want to read over here a little bit here in Proverbs, the first chapter of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the wisest man in the beginning. Well, you know, it says here in the second verse of the first chapter, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, equity. The fifth verse says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And the seventh verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever tried to deal with someone that you wanted to give them instruction? You wanted to help them, but they did not want it. They did not want it. That's hard to deal with that. But, you know, the Lord wants to give us a teachable spirit. You know, the Lord wants to give us a teachable spirit. That's the way the saints are. They're teachable people. They're willing to learn. They want to learn. If it's the right way and it's God's way, well, there's nothing wrong. That's what we want to learn. We want to learn God's way. Because we realize that God's way will keep us from hell beneath. The way above is to the wise, to depart from hell beneath. I'm not quoting it just right, but there's a scripture like that in Proverbs, I believe. But you know, the way is above to the wise. That's the way. And it says in the 20th verse of that, Proverbs 1, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. You know, I just wonder sometimes, do we ever get wisdom from others' mistakes? Do we ever see even ourselves? Do we get wisdom from our mistakes? You know, everybody makes mistakes. But if you can seek the Lord about it and ask the Lord about it, and He can open your understanding and wisdom, we won't have to make that mistake again, what I'm saying, because the Lord will show you and help you, and He will teach you, and you'll profit by it. And if we look around, and instead of, you know, when we look at others and we realize what happened to them, then let it give us wisdom and understanding that won't happen to me, because I want to follow the Lord. I want to keep on the right road. I want to be faithful. I don't want to misstep. I don't want to do something I shouldn't do. I want to please the Lord, so don't let that happen to me. And give us, if Solomon could fall, let us not, none of us feel we're so high. But, you know, I know we don't. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, help us to realize, and as long as we can keep humble before God and realize that our dependency is on God and our understanding is all coming from God, and that we need Him so much. We need the Lord. So wisdom crieth. And it says here in the second chapter, for the Lord, in the sixth verse, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In the eighth verse, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. There is something about God's way. It's got great power. And when we tap into wisdom and understanding in all areas of our life, there's just something, you know, there's a saying, the older you get, you still learn something every day, or maybe you don't learn something every single day. I want to make sure I quote that right. But people have that saying. But we do learn things often. And, you know, I know that no matter how old you are, sometimes something comes up, oh, I didn't know that. I wish I had known that years ago. You know, it's just, there's all kinds of things in life that opens up to us. And to get knowledge and understanding of the right way is something we should challenge ourselves about. That, Lord, I love that. I love learning. I love learning the right things, the right ways. So the Lord is able to help us. And if you just read through Proverbs, there's just so much. You know, the Lord just can give us understanding in so many ways. And I just thank the Lord for that. We want to read a special scripture that the Lord has gave me. That's been such a blessing to me. And it's Proverbs 14:1. It was the only time I got that out of my little promise box at home. And And I think that's where I got it that time, but not sure. But anyway, this scripture was such a blessing to me. Every wise woman, and we could say the same thing about the man, every wise man too. But every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And I wrote down some things about a wise woman. Like I said, it can be for the men too. But what does this exactly mean? A wise woman buildeth her house. It says, a good wife is a great blessing. Through her, through a fruitful wife, a family is multiplied with children, and the family is built up. A prudent wife, industrious and considers the affairs of the family. This family will prosper. The debts will be paid, the children will be educated and well taken care of. She looks upon the family as her own to take care of, though her husband is to bear rule and provide. She has a duty. A family can be brought to ruin by ill housewifery as well as by ill husbandry. A foolish woman that has no fear of God, no regard to her business, and is willfully and wasteful and can pluck it down with her hands. So this scripture, every wise woman buildeth her house. To have a wise wife or a wise husband, you know, a wise woman builds her house. She does everything to love her husband, to love her children, to do the best she can. And if even she feels like she didn't do her best, she goes to God and asks him to give her more wisdom, to know how to work with that home and do her very best. And you know, if there was more wise women in the world, they build that home. They build the home in a lot of ways. The man has his part, but a woman has a lot on her in that home. She works with the children. She's usually with the children more. She needs to work with the children and teach them, have Bible stories with them, talk to them about God. And it never ends. Grandmothers, same way. You know, we have just a responsibility as long as we live. And we're not going to say too much about that, but Jerry's grandmother, I know I mentioned her a lot, but in her 70s when I met her, we were saved at her home and she was fruitful. She was fruitful, you know, and so we can be fruitful in our old age. We can still be a great blessing. And I'll just mention, I keep looking at Sister Charlotte, but she's been a great blessing to us and she's fruitful. And you know, we can be fruitful and I love that. It inspires me. We can all be fruitful to the very end. And the Lord can help us to be a wise woman and a wise man too. And that builds the home, builds the congregation. We can all work together and be wise with one another and consider one another and love one another. That gives us wisdom and understanding to work in God's work. You know, I want the Lord, we all want the Lord to be on our side. And I don't know, we might not have much more, but in Matthew, we want to read this scripture. We just felt so inspired if this can help anybody tonight to seek the Lord for understanding. And Matthew 7 says here, we've heard this scripture a lot in 24th verse about the rock, but a wise man built his house upon the rock. It says here, whosoever... Here at the 24th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Dear ones, we know that rock is Jesus Christ. When we build upon that rock, Jesus Christ, we will not fall. The rain can descend upon us. The floods can come. But we build our life upon that rock, Jesus Christ. And we're wise to do that. Very, very wise. You know why? Because without Jesus, where would we be? We would not have the strength. We would not have the power. We would not have every good thing that we need without God. But with Jesus, we have it all. And it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And we want to read that scripture one more time. Again, it said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's not only just hearing God's word, but it's really having understanding and wisdom to seek his word, seek his understanding of it, having that desire to really serve the Lord and do what he says to do. The more that we do what the Bible says to do, the more we'll prosper. And it says here, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I'm just thankful tonight that the Lord helped me to serve him and love him. I want to keep it up. I want to keep faithful to the Lord all the days of my life. He prayed for me.